Okay, it is 10:30 a.m. on Wednesday, February 6th, 2019, and the February meeting of the Arizona State Board of Dispensing Opticians is called to order. Roll call.
Michael Searle, present.
Sherry Mays, present.
Dale Nyblad, present.
Suzanne Coleman, present.
Eileen Pettit, present.
Also present, we have our Assistant Attorney General, Scott Donald, as well as Megan Darian, our Executive Director. Declaration of conflicts of interest. I hear none. We'll move on. The discussion and possible action for requirements for continuing education courses and reporting period. Scott, I don't know if we need to go into executive session to discuss it and get some legal advice, or can we just agree to the 30-day?
Well, that would be
30-day. What are you talking about? 30-day grace.
It's up to the board if the board would like to request legal advice concerning this.
Okay.
I could give legal advice either in executive session or out of executive session, depending upon the nature of the,
okay,
of the advice. It's ultimately up to the board to interpret the statutes, but
right,
I can certainly give an interpretation of it.
The issue, we've got 8 licenses that got their last CEs in January, and of course, the renewal was the 31st. So they have apparently complied with the CEs. They've paid the late fee. And the only other thing I can think of that needs to be brought up about this is Megan needs to keep track of which CEs they did in January, because they will not be able to use them for their next 3-year time period, because they've already used them. Basically, it's complying with our 30-day late renewal fee to renew licenses.
But does that include the actually sitting for the...
Can't hear you.
And that 30 days includes taking classes virtually 30 days late, past the cutoff.
No. 31st was a cutoff.
No.
Could have taken...
What she's saying is, I think some of the credits were done
the credits
in January.
Credits were done in January.
That is
cutoff
correct.
Cutoff date is December 31st. So your 30-day grace period...
Starts January 1.
I thought
1.
That was... for paying the due, not taking continuing ed credits.
Right.
That's how I interpreted
right,
it.
There isn't anything in our, it says 3 years, but it doesn't have it specifically in our rules of December 31st. It's always been met that way. I've never had this happen in all the years I've been on the board.
And is it listed, Director? Is it listed on the website, you know, when the credits need to be done by?
Well, I think it's an assumption that the end of the year is December 31st.
That's why I said I've not had an issue. This is the first time it's happened. Possibly it is part of the e-licensing thing where people had trouble getting in and getting
Well, if they took their continuing ed after December 31st, that was not the issue.
Actually, no, that was not the issue.
Yeah.
Pardon?
That was not the issue.
Yeah.
E-licensing
it had nothing to do
not
with e-licensing. It had to do with the deadline.
I read through the... license renewal 1684.
Oh, sorry. 1684D, I think, is the operant.
It's the fees.
Yeah, I think it's 1684D is operant for this discussion.
Continuing education. Within a 3-year period, an amount not to exceed 21 hours.
So if they were licensed the previous 3 years, the clock would start ticking to January 1st.
Correct.
Okay.
Yeah, I when I first was brought to my attention, I said, their license are going to expire. They're going to have to retake everything.
Yeah.
And we had some discussion saying, well, maybe not. I don't know. We would have to make a one-time exception.
So I would ask, were there credits within 3 years? For each of those individuals, was it within 3 years that they had those credits?
No, because one or more were done in 2019.
I guess what
January.
I'm asking is, did they have some of their credits from the beginning of that 3-year period? Did
yes.
they?
Yes.
They had some within that first month. Because
back
for
in
them,
the first
I'm
month
just,
of the 3-year period.
Well,
right. The
right.
first month of the three-year period.
Because what it says in here is in a 3-year period. So if they didn't have any in the first in January of the 3-year period.
Some of them they had in 16, 17, or 18, but specifically, I have to go and double check.
Is there a precedent for this? Has it ever happened before? It has happened before. And how was that handled?
How was it handled? You discussed that with Lori?
Yes.
Yeah, okay. Because I don't remember it in my time on the board.
Yeah.
Or she handled it, maybe.
Yes, it has happened before.
And what is the precedent that the board did at that time?
If they can, as exactly you said, if there is one or two or many that they have to take, they cannot reuse them for the next 3 years.
The next 3 years. So even though they're in the three-year time frame, they are not able to use the same class again.
Yeah, it has been done for years.
We've accepted them late before?
Actually, within only month of January, from 1st to 31st.
So there is a precedent of accepting month of January in the past.
And who approved that? Was that the
could
board
have been previous
approved
board. Had to
it
be.
Was, yeah, it was.
Lori wouldn't have made that decision on her own. I don't believe.
Yes,
so
I believe.
Is this something that we need to put on our website or something? Because it is kind of confusing.
Yeah, just reading through the rule, like I said, it just says 3 years. Obviously, it makes sense. It's 3 years before your renewal, but
And under the statutes, under 1684 C and D really control this largely, and what they set up is that you have to have things done by December 31st, or you expire, but you can go up to January 31st and pay a late fee. And if you have everything done by then, you're okay. If you do not complete things by January 31st, then it actually goes back to the December 31st expiration date. So if you don't complete them by January 31st, you've missed the window for a late fee.
Late fee.
And the December 31st expiration goes into effect with the December 31st effective date.
But that is about late fees. That's not saying actually doing the continuing education.
It says in a three-year period. We all understand that's the length of our license. It's a three-year license period. I've not heard.
Well, especially if you were already a licensed optician, you know when that three-year ends and starts.
But unfortunately, we had eight this time, which is a very large number to run into.
So if we're going to do something for the eight, just as long as it's consistent for everyone.
It's been done in the past.
So will it state that, you know, deadline's December 31st, but you can take your continuing education till January 31st?
I don't think we would say that. I think we're going to
put
it on the website.
That's the exception we're doing. That the precedent has been set for in the past. So it's not like we're changing the rule. And if we can put notification on the website, like we're saying, so that when they go in there to see this, it's going to show all CECs that are required must be completed by December 31st. Then we've got it somewhere. And that's not in our rules. That's just clarifying.
So that's what we would do from here on
going forward
after these exceptions?
That is correct.
Okay.
That would be my feeling, because once we can get something specific available to the public, which it's going to be because everything's being done through the computer now. So it's going to be there. We can have it flagged. We can put up there, please note, going forward, continuing education credits need to be completed in a three-year time period ending on December 31st. Mm-hmm. Not a specific year, just the three-year time period.
But if you've made all these exceptions over the years, isn't that...
been one other besides this time.
One other?
I believe. Did she say how many have been done?
Not so many. But
in 8 years, this is the first time I've seen this. I've seen any.
Right, me too.
Mr. Chairman, can
yes,
I ask
sir.
A question of counsel? If, because there is a precedent set for allowing the CEs to be recognized in January as long as it's before January 31st, could we move to accept those, approve those licenses, And then, as a second motion, clarify moving forward that there is a differentiation between CEs being deadlined on December 31st and payments being received no later with a late fee by January 31st.
Absolutely. It would be best to look at this as two different things. The one would be the disposition of the licenses before the board at present.
Right.
The second would be if there is going to be a policy stated. However, if there's going to be a policy stated, as we're not really agendized for that, what I would recommend to the board would be that we then agendize it for next month for a full discussion of a policy and perhaps legal advice regarding a policy,
right,
and then drafting of a substantive policy statement if that is the direction the board wants to go. So I agreed, absolutely, from a legal standpoint, we should, this would be one motion for the current licenses.
Right.
And then beyond that, we absolutely could look at agendizing a policy discussion.
Okay, so does that seem acceptable to the board members?
Yes.
Then we will,
as long as it's consistent for everyone.
We will deal with that in number 5A. When we get down to 5A. Michael, you can think about how you're going to verbalize that.
Okay.
You did it quite well.
You did.
Okay, so let's move on to number 4. Do you discuss an approval of minutes, January 2nd regular board meeting?
I make a motion that we accept the board meeting minutes as written from our January 2nd meeting.
That's Suzanne Coleman. Motion.
Eileen Pettit seconds it.
And Eileen Pettit seconded. Any discussion? All those in favor?
Aye.
Aye.
Board minutes from January 2nd are approved. And we're going to do the board teleconference board meeting minutes from January 3rd.
I'd like to make a motion that we accept the minutes as written for the January 3rd teleconference meeting.
Suzanne Coleman has motioned to accept the board minutes.
I'll second the motion.
Michael Searle has seconded. Any discussion? All those in favor?
Aye.
So said, the board minutes have been approved. Next item we have is the agency operations, and this is the issue that we just finished discussing. Possible renewal approval for the 2, 4, 6, 8 people on 5A.
I would move that we approve the 8 applicants for renewal. They're listed in the agenda based on the fact that we have precedent that previous applicants had completed their continuing education by January 31st had been approved.
I second that.
Motion from Michael Searle, second from Eileen?
Suzanne Coleman.
Suzanne Coleman. I couldn't hear which one of it was. That these 8 renewals be approved. Any more discussion beyond what we've done? All those in favor?
Aye.
Aye.
Opposed? Those licenses have been approved with the appropriate late fees paid and the continuing education's done by January 31st.
And Mr. Chair, I apologize. Under 3, actually, the board certainly can continue the discussion of a policy direction for Section C and D and interpretation of that.
Because it was on here, we can go ahead and do that today, too?
Yes, the board can consider that as well.
Okay.
At this point, if they would like to.
Now, is that something we need to do a rule change to, Scott, or is that something that can be just a heads-up clarification on our website?
That's going to depend entirely under the rules and the statute if there is anything other than the 3-year requirement. If it has to be within a 3-year requirement, then that would appear to be a hard and fast date. If that date has to be done by the December 31st, then certainly the board can interpret it as being December 31st.
And we don't have to do a rule change,
right,
per se,
because right, exactly.
It's already the 3-year period's already in the rule.
Yeah, and,
okay.
And if it's a 3-year period, the board could simply, the policy would be that the board is interpreting the 3-year period as not including a grace period.
Right.
Beyond that.
Four CEs. Okay.
Pretty black and white.
I would move that we establish that we will recognize continuing education units completed prior to December 31st and recognize December 31st as the final day of the three-year period for education.
Right.
So moved by Michael.
I second that.
Seconded by Sherry. Any more discussion on that?
And can we somehow notify people, though, of that change?
Actually,
on our
I have. When they, one particular person on November 13th, the person was notified that your 12C is not done. On December 17th, it was notified again. On January 3rd, it was notified. And on January 7th.
But I think we're saying global.
What I'm saying is for all of the opticians.
Yeah. We put that on our website.
Such a large number this year.
Actually, when I sent the notification for renewal,
that can be included
in
that letter.
There. Oh. It was there that your CEs are due 12/31/2018, all your CEs. And I explained what the CEs are. And then on individual cases of eight cases that we have, each one of them received numerous emails that you have to renew your license.
So is this setting up precedence, too, that this is what you have to do for all these people every year?
No, that's what we're trying
that's
to do.
That's why we're trying.
Yeah, that's what we are trying to do.
Because I think it needs to be stopped.
Right.
And although e-licensing was challenging, CE still needed to be done by
correct.
Just to clarify one thing, I don't think it's necessarily that a policy has to be stopped. It sounds to me as if the board is interpreting the rule strictly as being what it is, and perhaps in the past there may have been extensions that did right. not necessarily, the board does not feel necessarily had a statutory basis.
And maybe on our notification for renewal we'll make it in bigger letters or bolder letters. I know you have it and you
actually
have it highlighted.
They were in yellow and bolded
several
times.
But it definitely we're setting the standard now that this is what it's going to be going forward. It's going to be a 12/31 for CEs.
Now, I would not be opposed to, with this clarification on what calendar year means and deadlines means, I am not opposed to if there's a hardship, like if someone was in the hospital, is it just total black and white?
Well, I feel like they have 3 years to get them done.
Unless you're in a hospital for 3 years, that'd be...
Right.
Okay.
I mean, shame on you if you were waiting until the very end and
right.
in the hospital.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Yeah, that's the reason they have 3 years. It's not a hardship for opticians to get 12 CEs in 3 years. I mean, it's easy to do.
Mm-hmm. Okay, good.
Mr. Chairman, the intent of my motion is to create clarity moving forward so that if the board is posed with this question in the future, there's something that's
something
documented so that we have clarity. I would also, in response to Member Pettit, I would say that even though hardships do exist, December 31st is the last day, not the first day they can begin their education. So for the comfort of the board moving forward, having that hard, fast deadline will give us some comfort that we're making a consistent decision at all times.
It's fair for everyone.
Nice clarification. Thank you, Michael.
Mr. Chairman, can I ask a question of our council?
Sure.
Mr. Donald, can I ask you a question? Is it possible that if we do this clarification that we still will be challenged in the future because of previous decisions that were made?
No, that would not really be an issue for the board. If the board is interpreting the board's statutes and rules, and a plain reading of the rule indicates that you have to be done by December 31st.
Okay. Questions answered?
Thank you.
Could I ask, though, if the board could restate the motion?
Sure.
Go for a mic.
So I would move that we interpret the rules as written to indicate that continuing education classes must be completed by December 31st in the three-year cycle to be recognized as credits for renewal of license.
And that was moved by Michael, seconded by Sherry. Any more discussion?
I have a question. I'm sorry. So the motion that these eight people have passed their CEs is accepted?
Correct.
An exception only this time?
Only this time.
Only this time.
Correct. Thank
Correct.
You.
All those in favor of the new motion?
Aye.
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 Opposed? Okay, we will have it interpreted and in the minutes that December 31st is a hard and fast deadline for the three-year time period, not separate from anything with the fees. Thank you, Scott. I appreciate you letting us go ahead and take that, take one thing off next month's. Director's report.
2018 license dispensing optician renewal with e-licensing has been completely over with more than 94% of completion, including these eight people.
Okay, good. Whew, we made it through it. Didn't think we were going to. Possible violations. Clear Vision Express. Everybody get copies of all the emails. It's a single location, isn't it? It's not
yes.
a... Okay.
They have two locations. One of them is... that one has... both of them have licenses. But they were talking about particularly this one, that they don't need a license.
The other one has a licensed optician?
Both of them has, yes, a licensed optician. The other one has.
So you have two licenses?
They were talking about that. Council, would you please explain it? Or I can explain it, and if I'm wrong, please let me know. actually, they were discussion. The discussion was that they don't need establishment license for this clear vision, and therefore they don't need a licensed optician. At this stage, they don't have a licensed optician. And by June 30th, that is the renewal due for all the establishment, they would like not to renew their establishment license.
And it looks like this location is owned by an ophthalmologist, and they're operating under their license, according to all these emails.
No.
And there's an optometrist at the other one. It's the best I can understand.
Up here.
Something about ophthalmologist.
Arizona licensed ophthalmologist. It's in email one, paragraph two.
Right. That's correct. And that was also Margaret Whalen.
So it's a non
issue. So I believe there is a non issue of violation here with this being a case where they're not required to have an establishment license. Did they have one prior?
Yes, they have one right now.
And,
so if they're saying they aren't required to have it,
then why should I?
So the only thing, I guess until it's time to renew, then they can just not renew if they don't want to have it. Otherwise, they're paid for. But they can't. Scott, I got a question for you. Can they have the establishment license and not meet the conditions of a licensed establishment? Would we need to have them pull that that establishment license off the wall?
No. If a firm is registered, they would have to meet registration requirements. So a company that has a license has to meet licensing requirements. Otherwise, the license is
void.
An issue.
So we can accept the fact that they say that they don't have to have an establishment license and ask them to please remove the one that they have.
Well, that's what they're asking. They don't want to renew in June.
Right, and it would be up to the board to decide whether or not they are required to have a license right. under our statutes and rules. If not, then it would be up to the board to decide, I suppose, if they're just going to ride it out until expiration, then it would be up to the board to decide if they're in violation of their license, because they would still be If the board determines they need to be regulated, then they would have an issue. If the board determines they do not need to be regulated, then the board would need to determine what to do about the fact that they would not meet licensing requirements because of not having a dispensing optician on site.
Yeah, according to the...
A couple of different issues.
According to the statute, they're claiming that they're... The people working there are working under direct supervision of a physician who is licensed to practice. That's what they're claiming is why they don't need one.
Yes,
that's part of the ARS.
That would be part of their argument that that they are working under direct supervision of a licensed ophthalmologist. As I understand it, the licensed ophthalmologist is in Texas and is correct me if I'm wrong, but is in Texas, and there would be two locations that you would be.
Yes, they have two locations in Tucson.
So they can't be working under the direct supervision of a licensed ophthalmologist if he's not here or she's not here.
That would be a decision the board would have to make.
I don't think we've ever had this happen.
I don't think we have either. I think with the emails, I think maybe we need to have our investigator open an investigation, check those two locations, find out who's the managing licensed optometrist or ophthalmologist that's supervising the people. And then we can make a decision whether they are in violation. According to their emails, they're saying they're not, but if the facts are that the Arizona licensed ophthalmologist is in Texas, he can't be giving direct supervision to the opticians or salespeople or whatever they want to call them.
Yeah.
So I think we need to do an investigation on this to find out for sure if we do have a clarify who's there and what's the situation before we can actually do anything about it.
I agree. Mm-hmm.
And from a legal standpoint, would the board also want to look into ownership of the...
I think absolutely. Absolutely. There should be a trail of paperwork that says who is the owners. And, you know, again, at multiple locations. We've had this happen before where multiple locations, we have not allowed one doctor to be over both locations without licensed optician. That's something we have done in the past, and this is no different than that, other than it's an ophthalmologist instead of an optometrist. But it sounds like we got something to keep Jim busy.
Do we need to make a motion?
Need a motion to...
Would the board like to... The board could certainly make a motion to open an investigation file on this matter and to proceed with an investigation.
Okay, I make a motion that we open an investigation in this matter of clear vision, optical, and number one, find out who the direct supervisor is of whoever is working as a non-licensed dispenser, as well as the ownership of the establishment.
Moved by Suzanne Coleman.
I'll second that.
Seconded by Sherry Mays. We've had discussion, I think enough discussion on this. I think this is going to be interesting to see what we find, and then we'll know where to go, because otherwise we're guessing and not knowing, and that's not a good thing to do. So any more discussion? All those in favor?
Aye.
Aye.
So we will assign the investigation to our investigator. Other possible violations, we have Southwest Eye Center. My understanding where we are on this, and that's why we've got establishment license applications for them, they are a new chain that opened, looks, what was it, September 18th was the date it looked like?
According to Deborah Bacon, that she was supposed to be here today, but unfortunately she couldn't make it due to some problems that she has. Yes, they, according to what she sent me, the first two opened in September 2018. And she was supposed to let me know when the other opened, but apparently they were opened around September 2018, all of them.
The person there has admitted that they have been in violation of not having establishment license. She has said that was her bad. We have a precedent of stores opening even one day without an establishment license, and I don't see that this is any different. The licensed optician, I know we have a precedent within the board of a 30-day period to replace a license that leaves or quits or gets fired or whatever. So that investigation, I think, has been complete, actually. Our investigator did go by. No, not that.
No.
That one. Oh, okay.
No, just this one.
So
do we need to move to open an investigation for these as well, or is
actually, Megan has all the information.
No, I have all the information. They know that it was kind of an oversight from the organization that they did not open the. Actually, they did. They opened the establishment without license. That's the reason they applied after I.
They have licensed opticians.
Yeah.
In all but one location, and that one just left.
Wait a second, I'm confused, because this says establishment license. Do they have an establishment license?
No. That's the violation that they are have admitted to, is no establishment license since they've opened.
So I have one question, because Southwest Eye Center has been around for years, their optical shop. So was it sold to another entity, and that's why we're getting the September 18th?
Okay. This was the request that I asked the person. She could not be present because of the issues that she had. But I know that they opened this establishment without a license.
The other old one that's been here forever is Southwest Eye Center, not Southwestern.
Not Southwestern.
Different company.
These are different.
Yes. Southwest Eye Centers have been in the valley for years.
Yeah.
Okay.
Anyway, I don't know if there's any investigation needs to be done because she's admitted the violation.
Yes.
So when we get to 7B through F, we can deal with that part there. But in this violation, they are in violation. We have a precedent of fine. I don't remember what it was. Can we just do this?
The first one was $250.
Yeah.
The second one,
establishment license,
$500.
And this would be, I assume, this would be for purposes of reaching settlement prior to going to a hearing of some sort. Okay,
exactly.
So this would be
This
would be without any findings. There's no hearing or any findings of fact
at
this point, right? Correct.
This is offering them for a settlement.
Certainly.
According to the precedent we have in the past, which I would ask you and Scott to put that together and see if that is agreeable for them to do that. I don't think we're going to be able to move on to 7 until we deal with 6. Now I'm confused. Maybe we can, because the violation's there. We can still deal with the new applications.
Well, we would take the application fee plus the fine fee?
No, the fine fee is something that would be done. Two different things.
They already applied for these 5 establishments.
Right. So we're going to deal with that later. We need to finish the violation that has actually occurred that she's admitted to and do the whatever that thing you do. That form.
So if I might then restate my understanding of what you're asking, you would be asking if the executive director could engage in potential discussions with the potential registrant about entering into a settlement agreement for potential violations for 6B through F.
Correct.
With an amount consistent with prior board discipline for similar situations.
That would be $250 per establishment.
Certainly. And I actually do think we could proceed with 7B through F today as well to prevent ongoing.
Right. Yeah. But the precedent we've set in the past is opening without an establishment license, and she's got 5 of them, or whoever it is. I think it's a she, yeah. that you've been talking to, and with five of them, that would be per establishment.
What about F? That one doesn't have a license of tissue.
They have 30 days from when you were notified, and you said it was the 20th, I think you said it was? 20th of January. So you just need to verify that they are going to have a license in, and then we can deal with that if they don't meet it within the 30-day time frame.
Yes.
We can put that on the agenda for next month.
It will go on the agenda for next month, and we'll revisit it to verify. So the no-licensed optician on F will move to next month's agenda. And by that time, we should have an answer from them, because it'll be more than the 30 days from the time the license left and that you had discussion with the manager or whatever she is, regional. I guess it's a regional. And then we'll put that forward to the next agenda. So if Scott, if you and Megan put together that proposal to them, and we'll get going with that discussion, and if we have to, we'll take it on to a full investigation and then into a hearing scenario if we have to. Yep. I'm going to feel like we're a real courtroom before we get done with all this stuff.
No kidding.
So that was a motion then? I just wanted to clarify. Okay, so then we just need a second.
That's the motion. That we're going to go for a consent agreement with whoever it is. Southwestern Eye Center.
Sure.
I made the motion. Sherry seconded it.
You made the motion?
Yeah. Something different. Chairman usually doesn't do motions, but I did.
Yeah.
Any more discussion? All those in favor?
Aye.
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 Motion carries. And I would like also, if you would, as you're doing this, just in your research, as more you can find out about the background of, because I'm pretty sure it was Southwest Eye Centers before, but if it was Southwestern, then that's a business that's been around as long as I've been in Arizona. But that was ophthalmology owned, so I don't know that they were ever established licenses.
Never had a license.
I don't believe they ever
had a license.
No, I don't think so.
They had licensed opticians, but not a.
So it could be someone bought the license. Name or whatever.
Well, definitely this one is a Southwestern Eye Center.
Yeah. No longer selling contacts.
I made a visit to the establishment, and they didn't have any contact lens selling, and then they sent me a follow-up email.
After how many times? But now they have stopped?
Yeah.
No longer selling. Okay, so we can finally get Casablanca off our list.
So like next August.
So next time we go back and visit. Casablanca.
It's Casablanca. Okay.
General discussion, rule changes overview. I think that's pretty good. Everything's done. Is it in print yet?
Not yet.
Not yet. You'll let us know when it's in,
yes,
when it's available.
As soon as it's published.
Okay.
Yeah. They told me sometimes, probably beginning of the March, but
right.
I'm not sure.
Wheels turn slow. But we all have copies of what the changes are, and you have the changes on the website.
Yes.
Okay. So they are available to everyone.
Yeah, website is fine.
Yeah. Good. Contact lens selling overview. We don't have any on the list today. We've got other things, so hopefully that's died down because of the passing of the holidays. But we will continue to do our due diligence on that.
Mr. Chairman, if I might say something in regards to the special events that are coming up in the area. President's Weekend, the fairgrounds will be hosting a tattoo expo. We have seen issues in the past. I'm not available to go through the show, but I've asked the staff at the exposition to remind the promoter and to take a look at what's going on.
Thank you. Yep. Keep us abreast of what's going on at the fairgrounds, because it's a busy place.
Very.
Keeps you busy. Thank you, Michael. Appreciate that. Applications for licensure. We've got the one for reciprocity, I believe. You've got your signatures?
Yes.
Yeah, that's
one. Okay, I guess we need to make a motion to accept Jennifer Allen Curran as a reciprocal licensee from the state of Kentucky.
Moved by Suzanne, seconded by Sherry. Any discussion? All those in favor?
Aye.
Jennifer's application for reciprocity is accepted. Then we have B through F. This is the Southwest Eye Center's establishment. They actually are applied for establishment licenses. Minutes or those. Agenda says no establishment license. They are new establishment license
yes.
applications. Okay. Just so we know, this is the new thing.
Yeah.
And they have submitted the applications. Did they have a license on that application for Sierra Vista?
Yeah.
Or, I'm sorry, Falcon Field.
All of them have except Sierra Vista. Sierra Vista doesn't have one.
So we can't accept.
So we can't accept the application for establishment license for F if they do not have a licensed optician on the application.
Correct. And they are still operating without a license.
So we can.
Well, but it's within the 30 days.
Yeah, we can deny accepting application, put it to next month's agenda for F.
Can we make a motion to accept B through E for their applications for licensure, and then F conditionally? Can we do F conditionally upon?
I don't think you could really do a conditional acceptance.
No.
You would either accept or deny today,
right.
or you could hand it to next
option.
Month.
All right.
So let's do.
There's a motion on the floor
for B through E.
B through E.
And they do all have all the requirements met.
Yes.
Question. So.
Is there a late fee? Is there a late fee? No, there wouldn't.
No,
be.
There is no late fee on this.
It was tied to.
That'd be renewals. This is a new application.
But this can be issued before the fine for opening without a license can be issued? Okay.
Yeah. Okay, so we've got a motion for accepting the establishment licenses for 7B through E.
Can I second it? Eileen Pettit.
Eileen Pettit seconded. Any discussion? All in favor?
Aye.
Aye.
Those four establishment license applications are accepted. I'll entertain a motion for denying F.
I'd like to make a motion to deny the establishment license application for Southwestern Eye Center Sierra Vista, since they don't meet the requirements.
So, and just to clarify, I do think you could potentially pend F to next month to see if they do. I don't know. Would you be able to pend it to next month, Megan?
Yeah, we can table it until next month, and we can notify them.
Okay. So we'll not deny it at this point. We'll move it.
We'll move it to next.
Move it to March's meeting. It'll be another additional agenda item, giving them a little time to find a replacement license for that location, or a license.
But at the same time, we have to give them a letter, the 30-day
yes.
letter.
Yeah.
Yeah.
And you're in discussion with their regional person anyway, so you'll have an opportunity to explain.
And if I recall correctly, that's also a 30-day requirement of the board in the consent agreement to offer
please
to that location.
Yeah. We want to push it to the next month's the consent agreement.
Oh, the consent agreement.
So that'll be on the agenda.
But they're operating. So.
Sure.
That's why we have our legal advisor. He's going to get us legally right.
In line.
Sure.
Do we have to give them 30 days on the consent agreement? Because today is 30 days from our next meeting. No, it's not. It's 28 days.
No, that was just my understanding, that when the motion was made for the consent agreement, that there would be two components to the Sierra Vista one. The one would be the financial penalty that all of them have.
Right.
The other would be a requirement that they have a licensed optician within 30 days. Now, that would be for the consent agreement. For the separate issue of the application, the board is pending it at present to the next board meeting to consider. If they don't have a licensed optician at that time, the board certainly is free to deny the application entirely.
Okay.
But that may allow them to resolve it while also resolving the consent agreement at the same time.
But is...
Take care of everything at once.
But they could possibly have resolved the issue with the consent agreement as well by March 6th. Is that reasonable, or do they have to have 30 days? Or
they could certainly meet the requirement of the consent agreement. It would still be a term of the consent agreement, but they could certainly then have some.
So we can still have it on the agenda next month rather than having to push it to April?
Oh, certainly.
Okay.
Oh, absolutely. It would be a matter of they could accept the consent agreement, and they could also be have their application approved next month.
So they can, okay. Thank you. Well, that's what we would like to ask you two to do. Take care of it. Future meeting dates. Gee, first Wednesday of the month, every month but July. It's nice that that's the only days. I like not having 2 days on the march.
Yes.
Yes. Future agenda items, you have those down, Megan, that we've pushed.
Yes. Think of it, no ink.
We've got investigation of Clear Vision. The feedback from Michael on the fairgrounds, how that goes, because that'll be before the next meeting. So that can continue on here. You can give us an update on when we're continuing the rule change overview and contact lens overview, just leaving them on the agenda so we can have discussions if need be. And then the 7F, as well as the consent agreement for agenda items for March.
6F was the consent agreement, 7F is the application.
Mm-hmm. 6B through F is a consent agreement, right? And 7F
would be the application.
Is the application that's being pushed for. Got too many B's and F's.
It's no fun if it's not confusing.
It's got to be confusing or we can't. That's why we've got you here. Call the public. Hello, public. You're welcome. It is 11:17 and this meeting is adjourned. To the case.